Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. You know, as I was playing that record at the altar, you know, a lot of us today need to go to the altar and just give God every problem we have, everything that's going on in our life. Just turn it over to Him. Don't take it back home. Don't take it back to work or to school, but just give it to Him. Hallelujah. Well, welcome again to Joy and Peace. And we will pray before we get into our topic for today, which is dealing with criticism. Oh, gracious Father, I worship you this morning, my King and my God. I am grateful that you commanded victory for each and every one of your people today, dear Heavenly Father. Those that may be listening right now, sitting at their office desk, though, that may come on later as the archives, and those that may come on, dear Heavenly Father, this morning. You're a good God, dear Heavenly Father, who act on behalf of the ones who put their hope in you, dear Heavenly Father, and their trust. Thank you, Lord, that you are at a work to answer each and every one of our prayers in your good way and time, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for past victories, Lord. You have won in our loved ones' life, Lord, for progress and growth and answered prayer, dear Heavenly Father, for the victory we will yet see in the future to the glory of your name. I praise you, Heavenly Father, that your time goes by in new ways, dear Heavenly Father. You will show us your goodness in the land of the living. Thank you, Dave, for today, dear Heavenly Father, for this broadcast. Thank you for everyone that will come on and listen, dear Heavenly Father, even in our archive. I give you praise. I give you honor. In the blessed name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. And let me take a little sip of water because the enemy will not get me on this one today. Well, we want to thank God today. Well, we're going to be dealing with criticism. We all have walked in that shoes each and every day. We are being criticized for this, criticized for that, whether you're on your job, whether you're at school, whether you're with your family, or whether you're in the church. You are dealing with criticism because somebody else can't see what you're doing or why you're doing. You're being criticized for why you did this, or you should have did it this way, or you should have did it that way. How do you deal today with dealing with criticism? And some of the main tag words I'll be using throughout the topic today is integrity. You know your integrity and the level you have. Defense. How many times we put up defense? It's like a brick wall. We put up our defense for ourselves. How we're enduring through the criticism. Hardships, how it put hardships on each and every one of us that go through and dealing with criticism. And criticism itself. You know, serving God faithfully involves coping with personal criticism. Even the Apostle Paul was severely criticized for his preaching of the gospel. We're going to talk about the carnal and the spiritual on dealing with criticism today. So I hope you have your paper and pencil today. I hope you came with your Bibles, or either I hope you came with some word that you can call in and give to us. And the number you can call in today is area code 646-716-4389. And I have an about listener that calls in every week. Thank you so much, listener. Caller from area code 409. They be calling from their desk on their job. Thank you so much
for listening in. And she said, I didn't realize that you were beyond and you have such an exciting topic. And I'm going to listen in at my desk with my phone and with my earplugs in. I'm going to be listening to the show. And I really thank you, Area Code, because when I see you pop up, you just give me encouragement to go on, not to give in, not listen to the criticism that I'm talking about today. Praise God, praise God. Well, today as I go into the lesson, you know, serving God faithfully involves coping with personal criticism. You know, the study today can enable you to describe and appropriate ways to deal with personal criticism that you may be receiving or that you have received in the past. You know, criticism of our action really stinks. You know, it's especially hurt when we are trying to serve Christ and do the best we can. You know, when attacked harshly, some people respond with anger. Not everybody, but some people respond with anger. Maybe even with a counter action. You know, others use sarcastic to defend a person that perceived as an enemy. Still others retreat in defeat. They may even sulk and refuse to serve God that way again. You know, criticism have kept so many people out of the body of Christ, where they've been criticized for doing this, criticized for doing that, or criticizing for not doing enough. But you do what God have called you to do. You know, criticism can paralyze most Christians into inactive. You know, you're wondering why people don't want to do things in the church, in the body of Christ. And the church start with us. But, you know, you have to just really look at it. I always say, don't judge the book by its cover. Open up that book and read what that book say. Don't all the time point fingers at a person because they're not doing what you want them to do. You know, if somebody always pointing a finger and criticizing you, but take a look and see, how many fingers are pointing at that other fella that's doing the criticizing? How many people, you know, that you know are might be gone today for the way you criticize and the way you're bullying, the way you talk, you know, just was on them. And did you realize what it was doing to that person? Now, we have good criticism and we have bad criticism. So you got to know how to criticize somebody in the right way. You know, even the Apostle Paul was severely criticized for his preaching of the gospel. He was attacked for the way he looked, for the way he preached. How many of you all are criticized for the way you look? I'm going to stop right there and talk on that. You may be going down the street just because you're not dressed like somebody else, or Miss Sally Sue or Mr. Joe Blow, you're being criticized. Just because you don't preach like Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, you being criticized. But you only doing what God have given you to do. You may not preach like Billy, but you going to preach like Sam, because that's what God have put on the inside of Sam. You do what God have given Sam to do. I'm just throwing out some names, paraphrasing it. But I know you'll find me somewhere in as I'm talking. You'll fit in somewhere today in dealing with criticism. You know, here Paul, he was attacked for the way he looked, for the way he preached, for the letters he wrote to the churches, and even for claiming to be an apostle. You know, you can tell by the fruit it bears, whether they are an apostle, whether they are bishop, whether they are overseer, whether they are evangelist, whether they are missionary, whether they are prayer warrior, or whether they're just a person sitting on the pew. God will let you know who that person is. You don't have to criticize them. Just because they're not fitting the bill you want them to fit, don't criticize them. Now, if it's good criticism, it's something that you see the Holy Ghost have dropped into your spirit, the Holy Ghost now. That's the spiritual part, not the carnal part, that you see the Holy Ghost have come in and say, I want you to tell Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so just this little tidbit. Just only tell them what I'm telling you to tell them. Good criticism, where if they would do this here, this would occur. But don't go down there and just ridicule them for their sermon or for the way that they spoke something, the way that they wrote something, because you don't know what God was dealing with them at that time when they wrote something, when they preached something, when they even sung a song. You might have wanted them to get up there and sing your selection, but it wasn't time for your selection. It was time to do what God had called them to do. You know, as men and women of God, if we will stay in the place that God has put us in and look at ourselves in a mirror, take a mirror or look in the looking glass at your home or at your place of employment or at your school as you pass by. Take an evaluation first of yourself. Look at yourself the way God sees you. Okay, God, this is what I'm going to present to your people, dear Heavenly Father. This is what I'm going to say to so-and-so. Am I saying it in the right frame of mind? Am I saying the right word? Before I say something to hurt somebody's feeling, show me how to use tact, how to go into the spirit, God, and show me how to give them good criticism, not bad criticism. Every time they see me come, they say, oh, let me go a different way, because they criticize me from the way I dress, from the way I eat, from the way I talk, from the city or state I came from. They're instead of criticizing, they always find the word. Do I ever do anything right, Lord, where they don't criticize me? If I didn't say the scripture like they wanted me to say the scripture, they criticizing me. Well, you gave me that scripture, God. You told me what thus said the Lord for me in that scripture. So you have to look at dealing with criticism so many ways. You know, as I went to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I'm going to be jumping all the way through it, so just have your paper and pen. You can write it down and go back at your leisure and read it. And we're talking about Paul, him being criticized today, you being criticized today. You know, through the first 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul's tone was of joy at reconciliation with the Corinthian believers. With chapter 10, his tone changed. Some interpreters suggested chapter 10 through 13 of the sorrowful letters referring to in 2nd chapter of Corinthians 2 and 4 and 7 and 8. You know, others believe Paul received a new report about the church after writing chapter 1 through 9 and responded to that report here. You know, it's difficult to know with certainty. It seems better to me. Now, I'm saying to me, I'm not saying it to you, but to me, to consider chapter 10 through 13 as belonging to 2 Corinthians. You know, at that point, Paul turned to deal directly with continuous criticism of him that came from some leaders at Corinth, whom he considered false apostle. When you turn to 2 Corinthians 10 to see how Paul dealt with criticism of him and his ministry, you know, as you read that, you know, Paul's defense of his integrity. I told you the words I gave you early: integrity, defense, enduring, hardship, criticism. They were going to be coming up again, that I was going to bring them up again. You know, and his integrity. You read that in 10, 1 through 11. Here Paul defends himself against the charge of inconsistency between his letters and his personal presence, as well as against attack on his apostolic position and authority. You know, Paul's desires for the Lord's commendation, Paul insists he only wanted God's approval and was careful to labor only within the commission of God had given him. You see, he was letting them know, I'm doing what God said. I want God's approval. And he was careful to labor only with the commission of God had given him. And that's what we do. When God give us something, do what God say do. Don't call up 10 people and try to change what God have told you to do. If they're going to criticize you, just think of it like this. They're criticizing Jesus because he gave you the assignment. He told you what to do, where to go, what to say, how to say it, and who to say it to. You know, Paul's defense and counteraction, here Paul defended his ministry in Corinth and counteracted his attackers as deceivers and false apostles. My. You know, here Paul's record of enduring hardship. Paul defends his integrity by citing his extensive suffering and hardship endured for the sake of the gospel. My. You see what Paul went through? He went through it. We surely can go through it. He was dealing with criticism, and he was only doing what God had commissioned him to do. My. You know, have you ever noticed that you can take some kind of criticism with an even temper and with some degree of objectivity, but other kinds of criticism cut to the quick? Would you agree that the closer any criticism gets to your personality, the more it hurts? You know, a criticism of the way you drive may not bother you, but the criticism of the way you sing a solo may almost destroy your will to sing again. You've seen how people, you're taking them somewhere, they can't drive now, don't even own a car, but they're criticizing you on how you drive and which way you turn, what you did to your seat, you know. They over on the other side are a backseat driver just criticizing you. But now look, they don't have a car, they don't have no license, and they can't get around. But they called you and going to criticize you from the time you pick them up to the time you put them off. So that's the way some people are with this criticism, dealing with criticism today. You know, some degree of objectivity. And would you agree that the closer any circumstances get to you personally, the more it hurt? Criticism of the way you drive may not bother you, but criticism of the way you sing a solo may almost destroy you will to sing again. And you know, a lot of people have been destroyed like that. They'll tell them, well, oh, you didn't sound like so-and-so, or you didn't do that song like so-and-so. See, you steadily bringing them down. You criticizing them just to say, oh, that was a beautiful selection. I thank God for putting that song on your heart. It's not going to take nothing from you. And you can bless many and many people without just with doing the word. Leave out that criticism. And if you have to tell them something, say, God told me to share something with you, and I want to share it to you in love. Amen. Amen. And, you know, would you agree that the closer any criticism get to you personally, the more it hurt? Criticism of the way you drive may not bother you, but criticism of the way you sing a solo almost destroy you with to sing again. Paul knew about these experiences. He felt the sting of some in Corinth who had criticized his personal and ministry. You know, you're going to expect, when you're doing work for God, you're going to expect criticism. You're not going to get all things that's going to be hunky-dory and make you feel good or want to pat you on your back. You're going to receive some things that are going to hurt you. But be prepared. Tell God to give me some tough skin, Lord. Give me some tough skin. So that stuff just can fall down the back of a duck. Just give me some breathing room. Give me some whatever I need, God, to go on with this task you have given me. And, you know, Paul's opponent attacked him at too high your personal point. First, they attacked him for having unimpressive personal presence. How much more personal can you get doing to criticize the way a person looks? Second, Paul's opponent attacked him for preaching in speech that was compatible. You can hardly hurt a preacher more than to call the way he preached contemptible. My. You know, the accuser did not just disagree with Paul. They was going for blood. They wanted to hurt him personally and deeply. Paul's attorney wanted to defend his ministry by holding him up to ridicule. If they could not refute his position, they would laugh him out of court. That's criticism, you all. Paul's critic also attacked his letter for being weighty and strong. They possibly meant his letters was too bold, too strong, and potential in their weighted theology. You know, few things are as personal as what we write. You know, you can ask any writer how well he or she respond when his or her writing are attacked for accuracy, organizational, or style. Sometimes we all, from time to time, have put a noun, a verb in a place shouldn't have went, or we misspelled the word, or we didn't write it in the style that people felt it should be, but it's a way that you can go to that person attacking them maliciously with criticism. I know a lot of you all get criticism on your job. Well, why did you do it this way? Why did you do it that way? Well, why didn't you go there? You know, you get why, or you should. But did they stop? Just one time, you turn the tables. Turn the tables on them and see how they feel with that criticism. You know, this personal attack on Paul, however, went far beyond hurtful remarks about his appearance, his speech, and his writing. You know, his critics accused him of a fundamental moral flaw, a lack of moral integrity. They say Paul wrote one way but acted another. How many of you all do that today? You say one thing, but you're doing another. You know, you have to think about that before you start pointing fingers at somebody else. That's why I say, take a glass, look in it. Look in the mirror at your home, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in your car. Really look at you. Lord, show me me. Don't let me around criticizing people. Let me show love. Let me, if it's something you want me to help them with, show me how to do it in love. You know, Paul wrote one way but acted another. He was inconsistent. He threatened big things on paper that he could not deliver in person. Paul's opponent said he bullied churches with his letter, but in person he was a mouse. You know, in this chapter in 2 Corinthians, I went to verse 11. Paul insisted there was no difference between his letters when he was present at Corinth. Whatever he was in his letters, he was also in person. You know, Paul had just written that he did not want to find himself in need of having to be bold and courageous. When he came to the Corinthians in person, you know, although a mere man, he waged warfare against evil in the power of God. Paul was engaged in defeating every idea that militates against knowing God. He had no desire to appear to terrify the church with his letter. If the believer at Corinth put Paul to the test, however, they would discover how strong his presence could be. You know, my. You know, just think a moment. Criticisms open you up to new perspective and new ideas you may not have considered. Whenever someone challenges you, they help expand your thinking. You know, you can learn from criticism allows you to improve if they're good criticism. Almost every critique gives you a tool to move effectively to create the tomorrow you visualize. You know, looking for seeds of thought and criticism encourage humility. It's not easy to take an honest look at yourself and your weakness, but you can only grow if you're willing to try. These are some things, you know, some benefits of criticism. Also, your criticism gives you an opportunity to practice active listening. This means you resist the urge to analyze in your head. How many people do you have and that you know? They're going to analyze every word you say, every period, every comma. They're going to rationalize and analyze in their head, verbally too, about criticizing what you say. You know, planning your rebuttal and simply consider what the other person is saying. You know, sometimes you just got to let them vent, let them get it out, and go back as God give it to it in love and let them know this is what I'm dealing with. This is what the Lord Almighty God says, dealing with criticism today. And, you know, you have a chance to practice forgiveness. You know, a lot of people haven't forgiven people that always criticize them. You know, when you come up against harsh critic, most of us carry around stress, unnecessary, frustration, unnecessary, that we unintentionally misdirect from time to time. We have to check ourselves, you all, before we wreck ourselves. And you know, one little slogan we use, take the good and the bad, throw it away. If it's good criticism, take it. If it's bad criticism that don't worth the hill of beans to what you're doing or what God have told you, just throw it away. Just take the good and throw the bad away. My. You know, thinking of it, Paul wrote one-fourth of the New Testament. In his writing, he developed the doctrine of justification by grace through faith, the gift of the Spirit, the second coming of Christ, and Christians' morality. He instructed churches on how to organize themselves and pastors on how to perform their work. You know, as I had read this, today over 19,000 years later, we still turn to Paul's writing in establishing our theology, our Christian ethics, our church government. Yet those writings were reviewed as scriptures, was attacked and paused on them. He was attacked way back then, y'all. Can we expect to escape criticism? No. Expect criticism. No one escapes it. We all, the best preacher, the best evangelist, the best overseer that you think, we all going to get criticized. We're going to get criticized on the way we spoke, the way we broke it down. We was too long. We were too sharp. We was harsh. Why didn't we use this word? Why didn't we use that word? Why didn't you pray like so-and-so? Or why didn't you do this like so-and-so? Why didn't you do why? You know, they come up with all that stuff criticizing you. We have to learn how to take the criticism. Take the good with the good and throw the bad away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I was thinking as I read this, verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. My, 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 my. And, you know, Paul refused to get into the arrogant, the self-serving, and ultimate meaningless game of one uppermanship. We can always win the game when we compare ourselves with others because we can make up the rules of that game as we go along. We can so design the rules of the game at any particular moment as to make ourselves look better than others. That game, Paul said, is practiced only by those without understanding. Paul would be foolish to do so. Paul went on reminding the Corinthians that he did not idly boast or bring the gospel to Corinth. He did preach Jesus Christ to them before anyone else did. He did not boast in what others had done as if their accomplishment was his own. He remained contented to be judged by the result of his own ministry, the result in the lives of the Corinthians believers. You know, furthermore, Paul intended to go beyond Corinth. You know, he didn't just take right there. He went beyond. Even with all that, however, he had no reason to boast. He who boasts is to boast in the Lord, that is, in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. My, 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 my. You know, our worth and standards are, after all, our established by any boast or claim we make for ourselves. The only approved that really matters is God. Whosoever lack God's approval cannot undo that lack by comparing himself or herself with someone else. My, 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 my. He is telling you right here in the Word. When criticizing by others, we can profit from that criticism if we are wise enough and self-controlled enough to do so. You know, ask, is there any validate to the criticism? Was God truly pleased with what I did? That's, you know, what they were saying in the Word of God. My, 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 my. You know, was God pleased with their motivation for their acting, for our attitude as they acted? Did my action reflect the mind of Christ and demonstrate growth in the church? So you got to be so careful when dealing with criticism. What are you, excuse me, you actually doing? How are you doing it? You know, and when criticized by others, we can profit from that criticism. You know, the criticism does not use the favor of showing the different direction our spiritual growth need to take. If the need to, the things I just asked you, then does it not matter what others say about us? We can take comfort in God's approval, even though the personal attacks may still hurt. Furthermore, criticism does use the favor of providing an opportunity to evaluate ourselves in the light of God's Word and by the standard of Jesus Christ. Only a member and a matured Christian can react in the way. How much mature did you demonstrate yourself to be the last time you was criticized? Do you even remember what you said or what you did the last time you was criticized? Did you get upset? Did you get angry? Did you use some choice word? Or did you just take the criticism in love and go to God in prayer about what they showed you? So, you know, we give God praise today for this particular topic, dealing with criticism. You know, Verse 4 in Philippians say, I, Paul, indicate his tolerance for people who preach the true gospel, even if they did so to compete with him and show him up. You know, even in this passage, however, Paul warned against a different era, tolerating teaching that threatened the gospel. Some teaching present a different Jesus and a different God than we present in the New Testament. My, 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 my. Different gospel. Such teaching flow from a different spirit than the Holy Spirit who spoke in Scripture. In the apostle's witness to the gospel, Paul was horrified that the church at Corinth would tolerate such teaching. It is commendable to beat up some things beautifully, but not when the person of Christ and the nature of the gospel are all at stake. My, 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 my. Today we are talking about dealing with criticism. You know, at this point, we see why Paul contends so fiercely for his position as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He did not contend merely for a title. He contended for the truth. If the Corinthians believed, and, you know, they believe and rejected Paul's position and authority into question. You know, but however, Paul's position and authority as an apostle was accepted than to one challenge the truth of his proclamation of the gospel. Although Paul detracted mighty radical and ridiculed him, he insists he was not in the least inferior to those most common enemy apostles. My, my, my. Here Paul admit he was not skilled in the art of making speeches. He did, though, have profound knowledge of the life and teaching of Jesus and what his life, death, and resurrection meant for him. You know, Paul could accept personal attacks on him when the gospel was to go forth or went forth. You know, Paul, in Corinth, however, more than Paul, reputation and sensitive was at stake. How he would not allow a false gossip of a false Christ preached from an evil spirit to go unchangeable. My, 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 my. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory, glory. And, you know, as you can read all the way through 2 Corinthians, you will find a lot of nuggets and things inside of that that would help you on your walk. You know, Christ preached from, he would not allow a false gossip or a false Christ preached from an evil spirit to go unchallenged. That was Paul. What issue facing the church today threatened the gospel? As humility as it was, Paul felt necessary to demonstrate the genuineness of his and apostleship. You know, since the Corinthian church accepted the claim of these super apostles, Paul had to refute the church and evidence of his power. Lord, have given us power. How to deal with each and everything. You know, although Paul felt insane to do so, he set out to prove his standard on Christ's servants. In support of his trustworthiness, Paul cited his great labor, unpredictable, numberless beatings, and the many light things, you know, he praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson today. You know, I'm going to give five different occasions Paul received the minimum permission by whipping for a Roman citizen, 39 lashes. It's recorded in Acts 22 and 25, recorded an occasion when Paul was almost flogged. You know, three times he was beaten with rods. You know, for one such occasion, once Paul received the maximum Jewish punishment, the usually fated punishment of stoning, you find that in Acts, the 14th chapter, and the 19th verse. Paul survived three shipwrecks, including a night and a day floating on debris in the ocean. I'm just showing you about all the things Paul went through. Paul summarized the danger, his frequent journey occasionally. He risked life and limbs crossing rivers, highway robberies, fellow Jews and Gentiles threatening his life. Wherever Paul went, in the city, in the wilderness, on the sea, among false brethren, in the church, he was exposed to danger. So, y'all, if he went through it, we can go through whatever criticism that they give us as believers. You know, preaching the gospel required of Paul greater labors and hardship and many sleepless nights. He studied from hunger and thirst, often went without food, and suffered from cold and exposure to the element. If required to verify the genuineness of his ministry, Paul's only argument amounted to this: who would endure such hardship for a false gospel resting on false claims of authority from God? Paul kept himself, and as you know, we went on a little bit further reading about Paul in the criticism. To deal with criticism, Paul was willingly, humbly to set forth the evidence for his genuineness and his faithfulness. What about you today? I'm going to ask that question. Paul, for a moment, to compare criticism you have received with Paul's experience. Does your situation compare at all with his? Have you suffered for Christ what Paul suffered? Have you risked for the gospel what Paul risked? Does the contrast put criticism you and I face into some perspective? Still, criticism hurt, no matter what. Paul's experience with criticism helped establish several important ways of dealing with criticism of ourselves and of our service for God. Today I'm going to tell you, expect criticism. Strive to please God. If our Lord is pleased with our service, then much of what other else said against us does not matter. That's why I told you, take the good with the good, the bad, throw it away. Then much of what others say against us does not matter. If our Lord is not pleased with our service, though it does not matter how much others may praise us. When necessary, unmask false teaching. Be prepared to endure hardship. And today, we're going to be closing, winding down our program on some things on emotional benefits of criticism. It's helpful to learn how to sit with the discomfort of an initial emotion reaction instead of immediately acting or retaliating. All too often, we want to do something with our feeling. Generally, not a great idea. Criticisms give you the chance to foster problem-solving skills, which isn't always easy when you're feeling sensitive, self-critical, or annoying with your circle. You know, receive criticism that hit a sensitive spot helps you explore unresolved issue. Maybe you're sensitive about your intelligence because you're holding on to something someone said to you years ago. Some things you need to release. Some things somebody's listening to today that you need to release. Drop that criticism. Drop that unforgiveness. Drop that not loving people. Take that person, love them, embrace them. You know, criticism encourages you to question your insensitivity associated and feeling. Praise is good. Criticism is bad. If we recondition ourselves to see things in less black and white terms, there's no stop to how far we can go. Interpreting someone else's feedback is an opportunity for rational thinking. Sometimes, some things, despite a negative tone, criticism is incredibly useful. You need to improve your relationships. You know, criticism presents an opportunity to choose peace over confidence. Oftentimes, when criticism, our instinct is to fight, creating unnecessary drama. The people around us generally want to help us, not judge us. Feeling critics will help you mitigate the need to be right. Nothing clothes an eye mind like ego, bad for your personal goal and damage for your relationship. Your critics give you an opportunity to challenge any people, pleasing tenderness. Relationships based on a constant need for approval can be draining. For everyone involved, it's liberating to let people think whatever they want. They're going to do it anyway. So I'm just giving you some things today on dealing with criticism. You know, certain pieces of criticism teach you not to sweat the small stuff. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter that your friend think you load the dishwasher wrong. I'm using that paraphrasing it. It's no matter what they think. Just do what God told you, and you'll come out all right. Now, some criticism you're going to get, it's going to be good criticism. But I know a lot of you all today are probably receiving bad criticism on different areas in your life. So take the good with the good and throw the bad away. You know, the more time you spend dwelling on about what someone said, the less time you have to do something with it. If you improve how you operate after receiving criticism, this will save time and energy in the future. When you think about from that prospect, criticism as a time saver, it's hard not to appreciate it. Forcing the ability to let go of your feelings and thoughts about being criticized, critiqued, can help you let go in the area of your life. Letting go of worries, regret, stress, fever, even possibly feeling to help you root yourself in a present moment, a meaningful moment, is always the most effective use of time. Well, today I just was sharing with you on dealing with criticism. You know, and criticism enforces the power of personal space. Take 10 minutes to process your emotion. Perhaps by writing in a journal will ensure your response well. And responding well the first time prevents one critical comment from dominating your day. Sometimes you can get some criticism that would just foul up your whole day. Don't let the criticism do you that way. In some cases, criticism teach you how to interact with the person. If they're negative or hostile, for example, knowing this can save you a lot of time and stress in the future. You know, when someone criticizes you, it shines a light on your own insecurity. If you secretly agree with your lazy, you should go to the root of that. What do you believe that? And what can you do about it? So you can go in and rationalize and ask God automatically, what are you saying to me, God? What do you want me to do? So, you know, when someone else appraises you harshly, you have an opportunity to monitor your inner self-talk. You know, your thoughts are negative. Take this opportunity to monitor and change your thought process so you don't drain and sabotage your own self. So today we were talking about dealing with criticism. I want to thank each and every person that came to the line today, name by name, city by city, state by state, that will listen to this broadcast later on, today, tonight, or maybe tomorrow. But we heard you found something on what I said, dealing with criticism, that would help you along your Christian journey. We are imperfect people. We are not perfect. We're striving to be better. So we're going to deal with certain things over on this side. And once we cross over to the other side, all this other stuff ceases that we was dealing with. So we give God praise for this broadcast today, dealing with criticism. And I hope it had helped someone along their Christian journey today. And I want to say thank you for all the people that called in, those that came on, those that may be in the chat room that I didn't get a chance to go over and chat with you all. I want to say thank you for coming to the line. Well, God bless you in your ministry and whatever endowment that you have, because he is a good God. He is a mighty good God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all. So today, as I get ready to leave the broadcast, but not before God's presence, that he will give me the word that he wants us to speak for next week. Because, see, we got to be about God's business. It's not about our business. It's all about God. It's about giving him praise, giving him the honor, giving him the glory. And we're going to have an exciting topic next week. And our topic next week is going to be sharing with people in need. That's what we're going to talk about next week, sharing with people in need. And it has come a time, you all, that it's time for us to share our resources, what God has blessed us with. You see the destruction all around the world, chaos, things going on. Learn how to share what God has given you to be able to help someone else. And until next week, I say to God be the glory. I love each and every one of you all. If I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all right now. So until next week, y'all have a blessed day, and bye-bye.